And good morning, KRFY listeners. I'm Susie Prez here with Chris Bessler. And good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine on this gray, cool, damp morning.
Yeah.
I'm doing great.
Classic fall there, fall day. I noticed that the tamaracks are really firing off right now.
It's happening.
A lot of the broadleaf trees, like the birch and the cottonwood, have kind of lost their leaves now. But if you see a big splashes of gold up there on the hills, that's the tamarack. They always come on a little bit later.
That's absolutely true. So here we go into this new weather cycle. But Chris, I wanted to formally thank you for doing and hosting Local Decision 2024 this year. I know it was a lot of work, but you brought to the table, to the airwaves here, to our listeners, interviews with candidates in contested races. And it was a lot. And thank you for getting this information out about the candidates so voters are informed. And all of those interviews are available online after the show, just like this interview will be available.
Yeah, you can find them there if you want to see, hey, I want to hold that candidate to something, something they said. But that's part of what we're trying to do here is inform the community and serve as a place where we can be a neutral venue for candidates to tell us about themselves and people to learn more.
Yep, that's what we do. Conduit for information and community engagement. So today we have guests in the studio. You want to tell us, they're sitting right here with smiles on their faces. Who do we have?
We have two guests that we have with us, Rob Talbot. He's the executive director of the Panda Theater. Rob, thanks for being here.
Yeah, good morning, Chris and Susie. Thanks for having us.
And we have a new face and voice. It's Olivia Gonzalez, and she is the new, relatively new fundraising coordinator for the Panda. Olivia, thank you for being here.
Good morning, Chris and Susie. Thank you so much for having me.
And we wanted a little introduction to you and who you are so people out there know a little bit more about the folks behind the Panda. Rob, you're kind of old hat now.
November 1st was a year. So.
Yeah, been on board for just a year now as executive director.
Good
and
job.
A lot of stuff is going on at the Panda. We're going to be talking about that, especially an upcoming birthday party that's happening this weekend. So we'll circle back on that soon.
Yep, but first from the National Weather Service, we always do this, the weather. It's important. We care. It's 41 degrees out. We have 100% chance of precipitation throughout the day, a high of 42, low tonight, 36 with 80% chance, and tomorrow another 100% chance of precipitation with, again, a high of 44. And then I'm going to move all the way up to Saturday. It says rain and snow likely, 60%. So it's coming. It's happening.
Yeah. And along those lines, they have had over 2 feet of snow up at Schweitzer now. And Schweitzer's angling for a November 22nd opening, which would be an early opening for them, if you know the snow gods keep it coming. But actually, I talked to somebody that was telling me a friend went up and was already doing a little bit of skiing up there, hiking up and doing some skiing.
Yeah.
I was up there last Monday with my daughter. Went up there and made a snowman. There was people walking around with snowboards and hiking up and skiing down. And I was looking this morning. Noah actually is calling for 10 to 20 inches in the next 48 hours up
at, oh my
up
goodness.
Well, let's hope that,
fingers crossed.
Let's hope that temperature stays down and we keep that snow up there and have a great season.
And just a shout out to Ted Wirt. He's a KRFY helper volunteer person. And he was up there. He works for the ski patrol. And he said everyone's very excited about the season ahead. So.
Ted's a good one. Yeah, I worked with him several years when I patrolled up there, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A couple other things going on outside. We have a full moon coming this Friday. You know, the full moons get a name. You know what's when it's called?
What one?
It's the first beaver moon.
Oh, okay.
We'll go and I'm not sure how it got that. But,
I think they start hibernating after this.
Yeah, that could be it. Well, they don't actually hibernate, but they hang out in their lodges. It's actually the final supermoon of 2024, and the supermoon is when the moon's at their closest approach it can make to the Earth, and it looks like up to 10 or 15% larger than a regular moon. So check out the full moon on Friday, and I think we might even have decent weather.
I saw cloudy, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Okay, all right. And one more thing, that we're getting shorter days. We've lost 21 minutes of daylight as we're heading towards the winter solstice, but hey, good news is the winter solstice is a little more than a month away, and then every day starts getting longer, right? Yeah, part of our winter here.
Yeah, I saw the other day it was 48 days. This was a week ago, until we start going back towards the light. So it made it seem less intense.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and actually the dark days have their own kind of magic up here in the Northland, I think.
Yeah, lots of reading, movies, and sleeping.
And if not, Chris, you got to tell yourself that, right?
We try to find the silver lining, right?
Right. Well, let's mention just a couple things going on around town. We maybe later in the show we can circle back on them. There's on Thursday, there is that's tomorrow, the CASA Purse Party is happening, and that's a fundraiser for CASA, which is a group that is dedicated to empowering advocates for children who are victims of abuse and neglect. So they do important work here in our town. On Friday at the Panada, there's Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Terrific film.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have seen it. Has everybody here seen it? Yeah.
And the soundtrack is classic.
It is classic. I might be there for that one if I can swing that. And then, of course, on Saturday, we have the Panda Birthday Party. We're going to talk a lot more about that in just a minute. Also, there's a Christmas craft fair that's happening Saturday and Sunday. And then on Sunday, the Music Conservatory is having the Fall Serenade, which is a really terrific program there as well. So a ton of stuff going on. And actually, I just counted it up. In the course of this next week, there's like over pushing 40 events on the events calendar happening around town, from live music and all kinds of things. You can see that if you go to our website, krfy.org, and click on the community calendars.
And just as a preliminary, put it on your calendar. Think about attending the Holiday Spectacular. It's a KRFY Panhandle Community Radio is presenting that. It's a live radio show broadcasting from the Sandpoint Community Hall, but we have room for 100 guests and live music by local musicians, winter campfire stories from local writers, radio drama, humor, merriment, and good cheer. So mark it on your calendar, Friday, December 6th at the Sandpoint Community Hall, KRFY presenting.
Yes, yeah, and we've been there a couple of years now, and it's a ton of fun.
It's really fun.
Well, let's get on to today's talk. We have again with us Executive Director of the Panda, Rob Talbot, and Fundraising Coordinator, Olivia Gonzalez. Thank you both again for being here.
Mm-hmm. Nice again, Chris and Susie. Yeah. Appreciate you.
And we want to start with you, Olivia, because you're relatively new. You started at the Panda, what, 2 or 3 months ago?
Late end of June.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. More, a little bit more than that. And your role there is the fundraising coordinator. But I thought, let's take just a couple minutes and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who are you as one of the people at the helm of the Panda.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Well, I'm Olivia. Let's see. I've lived in Sandpoint for almost 12 years now. Grew up just north of here in Bonners Ferry. I have 4 children, ages, my oldest is 11, my youngest is 3, and 2 girls in between. I kind of came out of my time being really focused as a stay-at-home mom, looking to work in a local organization that I cared about. I love this community and have a lot of passion for wanting this place to thrive. And a good friend of mine told me about this position at the Panada, and I thought, heck, I'll apply. I've had experience fundraising and community organizing in different ways. Probably my biggest chunk of experience was as a Peace Corps volunteer, which was a really different community, but kind of still similar idea of getting energy around projects and getting people together to, you know, gather resources and support to make things happen. And I'm so grateful to have gotten this position. It's been super fun, big learning curve for me in a lot of ways. So, and yeah,
So are you a Bonners Ferry High graduate?
Yes.
Okay.
2005.
Yeah, go Badgers, right? Yep.
Yeah, and my husband, funny enough, actually teaches there now. So he's, yeah, still repping the Badger gear.
Well, cool. But your kids are going to be Bulldogs.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Just speaking of the Peace Corps, where did you do your Peace Corps volunteering?
I was in Western Samoa on a little island called Savai'i. I think the total population of that, I mean, the total population of the country is less than San Diego, I think, is what it was when I was there. Yeah. So, right. And I was on the more rural island there in a little village.
And just a shout out to your parents, Brad and Karen. They met in the Peace Corps years and years ago.
Yep. Yeah. Family legacy.
Yeah. You have siblings that have gone into the Peace Corps as well?
No. I have three brothers. Okay. They have not yet. I mean, one I think would be a really great candidate. Maybe he will.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a successor. Yeah.
And was the Peace Corps experience good for you?
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, you go over there as a young, idealistic sort of person thinking that, you know, we're going to help these people. And we did. But I think more so, I learned so much from that culture and their ways and their just a really different way of life. You live with a family. You're totally immersed. You're not a tourist at all. You're there for a long time. And yeah, I would definitely recommend it to anybody.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, welcome on board to the Panada here, kind of one of our community treasures, one of our biggest community treasures, I think. And the one reason is because it's been here and part of our lives for so long. It was built in 1927, which means in 2027, what's that, 3 years off, we're coming up on the 100th anniversary. I think it opened on November 22nd or 23rd in 1927. So the actual birthday day is fast approaching. And there's a big event coming up this weekend, this Saturday. It's being styled as the Panada Birthday Party. So tell us the thinking about calling this a birthday party and what's happening to the build up to this centenary of the Panada, Rob. And we also want to learn more about this great musician that's going to be singing.
Well, there are a lot of levels to this. You know, one of the things that we really wanted to start doing is creating programming that can resonate and repeat year after year, and people can get behind it and get excited about it. And as we build up towards the 100 years, you know, we're planning on having a big celebration for 100 years, so why don't we go ahead and start warming up for that now and start building this process and building this event for then. And, you know, the other thing, too, is we really want to invite anyone and everyone to the Panada. We want to make sure that everyone's invited. We have programming for the entire community. And we really are hoping to see a lot of people come out and have a good time. You know, I think the Panada is not necessarily known for dancing and high energy shows sometimes, and we're looking to kind of change that a little bit and let people know that we can do that and have a good time. And Raquel Rodriguez is gonna make that happen, and the Nightmares too, Lucas Brown's band out of Spokane, who's opening up, doing an extended opening set for Raquel, is gonna be a lot of fun too.
Just for a minute, because Raquel Rodriguez is not a household name in my world, but tell us about why is this so special, exciting?
Well, it's exciting because of the up tempo. You know, the style of music is going to reach a wide variety of people, including people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. You know, all the age groups are going to connect with this music on some level. Whether you've been in North Idaho for a long time or you just got here, this music should connect with you. It's a lot of fun. It's great, great lyrics, and it's a mix of soul, funk, R&B, and just a really good time.
Well, who is she?
Well, she's out of Los Angeles, and she's toured internationally. She's done a lot of work with artists that you know that you and I would know, and kind of right now she's working on expanding what she does with her songs. You can easily find her on Spotify or any of the places that you stream music. We also have a link on the website, so if you go to panda.org, click events, you can go on there, see a description, and click on a video. There's a link to her website. You can check it all out there. It's going to be a really good, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And tickets are, you know, for an internationally touring artist like this, only $20, and that money goes to the Panada. It's a big show. We've got two acts. Starts at 7:30. So the first act will go on from 7:30 to 8:45, and then Raquel goes on around 9. Mm-hmm. So
did you have some kind of connection to this artist, management team? How did you?
Well, I don't know how long you want to go down this rabbit hole, but
people are interested in where the music comes from.
One of my favorite parts of my job is to find music that people have not heard of. Those of you that have been following me through and knowing what I've done with Maddox Farm Productions and have showed up to the summer series shows, I think you know that you show up and you're like, oh, whoa, what is it? I don't even know who this is. This is great. I worked really hard to be able to do that, and I enjoy doing that. I enjoy bringing you your next favorite musician. And she is one of them that I've found, and I've been trying to find the right event to bring her to town for 2 or 3 years. And the local connection comes in, though. Her agent, her booking agent, who just started working with her in the last 12 months, is actually graduated at Sandpoint High School.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool.
What was she touring up in this region anyways?
She was not actually. Mm. No, this is one of the few that is making a trip to come join us and hang out with us.
That's cool. Does she bring how many members of her band?
It's a four-piece band. It's a five-piece band with drums, keys, bass and synth, some digital backtracks, things like that.
Lights, lighting.
Oh yeah, we're
it's a show.
We're gonna have the full lighting rig, mm-hmm. Fog stuff, like all that good stuff.
Okay,
kind of cool. Like Taylor Swift. It sounds.
well, kind of sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably not.
A little more soul than Taylor.
Yeah,
right. A little less country pop.
That's coming up this Sunday. Tickets available.
Coming up this Saturday.
Saturday.
Tickets are available. You can go to panda.org. I would imagine there'll be some left at the some available at the door. Another thing to throw out there is Schweitzer has been very generous and donated a ski pass, adult ski pass for us to fundraise with, and we are doing that with this show. Anyone that comes to this show gets a free raffle ticket, or gets a raffle ticket to be entered into that. Mm-hmm. You can also buy more. They'll be available at the show and the Fly Fishing Film Festival, as well as the Shook Show, where it'll be given away. You do not have to be at the Giving Thanks show to win it. But, come to the show, and not only do you get a great night of music, you get you might win yourself a ski pass if you were one of those.
It's a season, one of those people. A season pass.
Yeah, season pass. Wow.
Yeah.
Full season pass.
It's like a $1,000 deal there.
We're like, I don't know. Waited too long, didn't pull the trigger to buy that early season price. So here's your chance.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, well, that's Raquel Rodriguez and how she's winding up here. But tell us a little bit more about that opening act, Lucas Brown and the Nightmares.
Yeah, so these. This crew, Lucas Brown, if you're a music fan around here, you know Lucas, and you know anything and everything he does is phenomenal. And he's quite diverse. He had a group called Breadbox that played the Hive back in the times before, and has played Summerfest. The Nightmares played Summerfest not this past year, but the year before. And everyone was blown away. Everyone that was there was blown away by the Nightmares. They're just fun. They lean a little more on the funk side, horns and and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm.
And it's nightmares, and that as in not nightmares, nightmares as in mayor of a city, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun name.
If you know Lucas, is his mom.
Yeah.
Mayor of Spokane.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
What's his mom? Who's his mom?
I can't remember her.
Oh, that's name. Right. Okay. I'm not that dialed into Spokane, but I think I remember a Brown that was mayor of Spokane. Yeah.
That'd be her.
Okay. Well, that's cool. And so this is coming up again this Saturday, and the music starts at 7:30. Doors open
at 6:30.
Doors open at 6:30 p.m. And it's going to be a great night of music. And you say there's going to be dancing. That means that area in front. Going to be, we're expecting folks to be up there boogieing.
Yeah. You know, and if you made it to Gaelic Storm or March 4th, you know that we don't shy away from letting people get up there and dance. And we let people know the first four rows.
That's right.
You're going to have a butt in your face probably.
So if you're a dancer, sit in the first four. Yeah.
There you go. If you're not going to dance, you might want to sit in the fifth or row or back.
Yeah. Okay.
We've had some good times there. I remember one of the shows that I did with POAC, we brought Dust Bowl Revival and Shakewell in, and they had a Congo line. We had a Congo line going up one aisle and through the lobby and back down in the whole dance pit down there. So it can be a good time. We're looking forward to doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dancing to Raquel Rodriguez in my kitchen for the past few weeks preparing, so.
While making spaghetti, I heard.
Yep.
Well, I could go listen to her. I wonder if we have any in our library.
Why don't you look it up real quick and see? We may or may not, because we got 100,000 songs, but there's...
We can get you some if you
don't.
If we don't have them.
Her agent is Max O'Leary. Like I said, he grew up here, so I'm sure he can send you some stuff.
Mm-hmm. And one point to make about this concert, this birthday party, is that it is a Panada-produced show.
Correct.
So the money that is raised, of course, you pay the artists and the production team and so on, but the money you make over that goes right to the Panada. A lot of folks don't know that a lot of the shows in the Panada are brought by other organizations, and Correct. They just rent the room.
Yeah, so like... you know, the last, Warren Miller, that's brought in. They rent the room, rent the space, and bring in the event. The Fly Fishing Film Festival, that's a rental. Lake Pondere Repertory Theater rents the venue for their plays. So, mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff is rentals. A lot of the events are rentals. And we've been working since I've gotten there to expand what the Panada presents. Abilities and being able to fill in our schedule and diversify it to, again, make sure we're reaching, giving everyone an opportunity to come join us.
Yeah, that's kind of the dual mission. We want to be Panada wants to be a place where other organizations come and use it for their events, but as well the Panada wants to be putting on and, bringing the cultural and music and artistic diversity to our community.
Yeah. And all the movies are Panada presents as well. So anytime you come to a movie, that's supporting the Panada and the mission of bringing people together and having a good time with the cinema. And that's what the place was built for, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a place for community connection.
That's all really great. It's good to hear. It's a treasure in our community. And we do have this birthday party coming up. But I wanted to get back to Olivia for just a moment. Fundraising. Mm-hmm. So you make money on something like the movies, the concessions, and things like that. But fundraising on its own is different. So what do you focus on? What have been your challenges? And what kind of direction do you see kind of bringing something new into the mix?
Yeah, well, thanks, Susie. The Panada, it's such a long-standing and beautiful organization, and it has this legacy of support, community support, in terms of money and resources and time and volunteers. And so I kind of see my job with fundraising, I take that flow and track it and manage it and make sure it's always pumping and also growing. And, you know, we do that in many different ways. In September, we initiated a membership program where our people can donate a certain amount a year, and we created some really fun benefits for them based on their donation amount. And some of that is, you know, we're going to have some really fun Panada gear. We have a program for our top tier donors who they'll receive a special Panada pin, and they can skip the line and get into events early, which is, I think, a really fun idea. Sure. As well as early ticket sales for Panada events. So we can send out our email, hey, these tickets are going on sale. And the people in that membership tier will be able to have access to purchase tickets before the rest of the community, so they don't have to worry about selling out. So that's one thing. And then, of course, events. We're doing specific fundraising events and also fundraising events that are about getting to know our constituency, because I think we think that's really important, and hearing from them and seeing what they want to see at the Panada. And then there's the grants and coordinating with grant writing. I have a really amazing, helpful fundraising committee that I work with that.
Newsletters, possibly things to keep people engaged.
Yes. Yes.
And understanding what the Panada is about. Coming on to the KRFY morning show. Keep telling us what's going on.
Right? Yes.
Ways of engaging.
Yeah, it's building relationships, building community, and getting as many people involved in our mission as possible.
Mm-hmm. Right. And one of the big things going right now is the Century Fund Capital Campaign. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Century Fund because we're coming up on a century that we've had the Panada here in town. Full disclosure, I'm on that committee. I'm one of the volunteers on that. The idea behind the Century Fund campaign is to raise money for the renovation of the original theater. It's also not just renovation, but the restoration of the theater. And Rob, I like the way that you once put it when you were talking to a group about what we're trying to accomplish with fixing up the Panada, and that is to make it a really high-quality performance space. And talk to us a little bit about what your vision is there.
So, yeah, the example I used for you, so I'm a car guy. That's one of the things I do in my off time.
What
little time I have. Yeah, I like old automobiles and the experience the nostalgia that gives you going back. And, so for me, I look at, you put together a 57 Chevy, and it looks like a 57 Chevy. You sit in it, it feels like a 57 Chevy. You get the kind of the nostalgia of a 57 Chevy. But what we want to do is we want to put the modern drivetrain. We want to put a modern motor, modern transmission in it, maybe some electric windows, put a nice stereo in it, so it performs more like a modern car than a 57 Chevy. But it looks like and feels like a 57 Chevy. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we're shooting for. You know, we want to make the space more conducive to putting on events. We want to improve the lighting. We want to improve the rigging. We want to improve the sound system. We want to improve the seating. We've got a gala coming up in May, and one of the focuses of that, the main focus of that, will be to restore the seats in the balcony and improve the seating in the balcony. I was just in there last night, and we've got 61 spots for butts to sit down up there. And if we clean it up, make them, put more love seats up, put a couple more love seats up there instead of the singles. There's a couple other spots that we can put, like a lounge seat with the love seats. We could get 75, so we could bump up our capacity a little bit up there. So it's little things like that, Ideally, if someone walked in, hadn't been in the Panada for 30 years or ever, they might go, oh, this is, well, they wouldn't think anything new. They wouldn't think, hey, you've renovated this. the way I see it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say that if you look closely at the panda, when next time you're in there, hopefully this weekend, and you'll see that you walk in and the immediate impression is, oh, this is a glorious old space that it looks so mm-hmm. cool. But if you look, you can see that the plaster is chipped and cracked in many places. A lot of the artwork, some of the neat murals that are on the walls are kind of fading. Yeah. And a big part of the vision for the Panda Century Fund campaign is to do some restoration on those parts Correct. Of the historic nature of the theater itself.
Yeah, that can be not as glorious as some of the other stuff, as a lobby renovation or expanded bathrooms, but it's a huge part of it. If you go in there and look, you can see the ceiling, which was redone about, was that 8-9 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It looks sharper than mm-hmm. what's below the crown molding.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely brighter and sharper. That place was, you know, we're talking 97 years, and most of that time people could smoke in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
The walls have never been cleaned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just cleaning the walls itself and then repairing some of the cracks is, I think, going to make a huge transformation. Mm-hmm. And we're working with a grantor now to possibly redo that, to have the northern wall, so the left wall.
Starting with the northern wall, yeah.
Wall,
it's on the left side.
Hand side as you walk down into the theater, having that wall restored, and then we'll work our way around the venue. So things like that, mm-hmm. Working on the plaster and the paint on the outside on that southern wall as you're going down to Sand Creek is cracking and giving us some moisture intrusion that we need to repair.
Yeah,
so that's more structural that's and not, foundational?
No, that's not structural. No, actually,
it's the envelope, actually, mm-hmm. that the protects the exterior envelope of the theater that needs a lot of work.
How is the foundation and the structure?
Bowdoin, we've been working with Bowdoin, and they've done a pretty extensive, what would you say?
A series of assessments of the structure, the electrical, the plumbing, the HVAC. Mm-hmm. And actually, structurally, the building is in pretty good shape. We're happy yep. about that.
The HVAC the HVAC is another non-glorious thing that needs to be worked on and replaced. But the structure is in really good shape, thankfully, because that can rack up mm-hmm. a lot of money, and no one sees that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and being involved with the Century Fund campaign, I'll say, you know, we started this off just a little over 2 years ago. We kicked it off. In October, 2 years ago, actually. It's an ambitious campaign to raise, as we set forth, $1.9 million, which sounds like a ton of money. But the reality is, having now used the first portion of that per the plan to do these assessments, we realized we're actually going to need more than that.
Always.
So the plan was going to, we're waiting for a couple of shoes to drop on a couple of things. One of them is we have a big grant request out to the EPA.
Correct, yeah.
And if that were to come through, it would make a big difference. And the EPA, because it would help with specifically the HVAC and give us a more energy efficient system.
Yeah, it focuses on energy efficiency.
There you go. And you had the Century Fund had a partner, a corporate partner, to start yes. out in this. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so Ting has been a huge, huge help getting this going. They offered to match any donations into our Century Fund up to $5,000.
From individuals, yeah.
And they're going to go up to $200,000 with that, which is amazing.
Huge.
And has given us a huge head start and a lot of momentum to get the roof taken care of and start working on some other projects, get these assessments done with Bowdoin. And start looking at how we can update and renovate the lobby to make it a more useful space for us.
Mm-hmm. Big shout out to Ting. That gives a huge help for us. And it's still active, folks. If you make a donation to the Panda Theater, Ting is going to match it. And we're... out of the 200,000 total that Ting has pledged, I think we've used up a little less than two-thirds of that now. So we're hoping in this next year to max out that amount. And then we're going to be hunting for maybe some other corporate partners that would do a similar sort of match. But if you're a donor, do know that if you say you're donating to the Century Fund, that money is going to be matched by Ting. So basically, you're giving twice as much as coming out of your own pocket.
And you and the next thing would be, how do I donate? How do I help? So we're going to be sending out, if we have your address, we're going to be sending you a mailer in the next few weeks. You'll get that in December, and that can be part of your tax-deductible donation. You can send that in, and again, Ting matches that. You can also go to our website, panada.org, and you can click Donate Now. So there's a really easy button there. Just click mm-hmm. Donate Now, and then you can go through that process. And there's a couple ways you can donate. You can donate to the Century Fund, which is the one that gets doubled, or you can donate to Operations, or you can donate to do the Legacy Gift, the
Endowment Fund.
Endowment Fund.
Yeah, we do have an Endowment Fund. We kicked that off just a couple years ago. The way Endowment Funds work, you give the money to the organization. That money never gets spent. It stays in the fund. And as the fund grows, the fund can throw off interest that the organization can then use to go towards Operations. And I will say, I think the Panada, we have some amazing nonprofit organizations in town that raise a huge amounts of money from our community. And we have a very giving community here. I'm thinking of the Panada Alliance for Education or the Animal Shelter or Kinnickzu Land Trust. The Panada has always, I think people think, well, hey, they make all the money they need through their operations, through the shows they have there. That's not true with these historic theaters. These historic theaters need, if we want to maintain them in our community, they need more than what they're going to raise from their own operations.
That's very true. It's about 25-30% of our budget. We rely on donations to make that up.
For your operating
budget. Just for the operations, not for the work we need to do to maintain and improve the facility.
That's true of most nonprofits in our area. It's true here at KRFY.
That's right. KRFY is just one of those nonprofits that wouldn't even exist. You wouldn't be able to tune into this radio station if folks didn't give it to
it. And I think of the Panada and KRFY as similar service organizations in our community. KRFY supports all of the nonprofits by having these morning shows and interviews. And we also, have great music and other programming from outside, syndicated stuff. But also the Panada provides a venue for organizations Correct. All the time. And so we have a similar mission.
Yes. And, one of the things that we really try to work on is keeping the space affordable and accessible for other nonprofits and for some of the dance studios. We've got dance studios coming through in December. We always they come back in the spring for their recitals. So keeping the space available for them, if you look at comparable venues of size and structure, things like that. It can be oftentimes 75-100% more than what we charge. So we really are trying to provide trying to keep the cost as low as possible to provide a community mm-hmm. service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and in this past year, we were almost at like 100, 120, 125 events in the past 12 months. So we have to maintain a staff to do that. So.
And just so our listeners know, this is 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show, and we're speaking with Olivia Gonzalez. She's the fundraising chair or coordinator for the Panada, and executive director Rob Talbot. And we're talking all about the Panada, not just what's coming up, but the infrastructure and what's behind it. I had one question, just off the wall kind of question. Was the Panada always called the Panada 100 years ago, or 97 years ago?
Yes, it was. And the name comes from Panhandle of Idaho.
Okay. They put it together. You would think it'd be the Panida, but I don't know when it may have gone from being called the Panida to the Panada, but that's what we have now for sure.
And almost all of the touring musicians try to call it the Panida.
Yeah. Especially when you tell them it's the Panhandle of Idaho, then mm-hmm. they go that way. And we should point out the Panada theater, of course, is the treasure. Right next door is what's called the Panda Little Theater, and that's correct. It was for many years. It started out as a retail location. It's actually older than the Panda itself. I understand that building is.
Wasn't it called the Shenanigans or something like that? It was a bar.
Well, it was the Kamloops Bar in the 80s and 90s, and then it became the Avalanche, and then it came up for sale around 2002, and the Panda said, hey, let's see if we can acquire that. One reason being because the Avalanche Bar would have these really loud events going on. You know, a big band there, and the sound would leach over into performances happening in the Panda. So the Panda wanted to, A, control that space, but also use it as a small performance area, because not every thing that goes on in town can fill up a 500-seat theater. So talk about the potential for that, Rob, of the little theater.
Well, to me, there are the obvious things like the beauty of the theater when you walk in. But then we have a couple of things that really, I think, set us apart on a national, regional, and national level. One of them is that we have such a variety of shows that we work with other organizations to bring in events in addition to putting on our own. A lot of them don't do that. The other thing is we're not constrained to our historical walls. We have that little theater that we can make use of and expand a little bit more. A lot of the historical venues don't have that. You have to go to the modern venues to see something where they have the large theater and then a smaller black box or smaller theater like that. And I'm really excited about the potential in that space. And, you know, our staff really is too. And we're looking at hosting a dinner there for some of our donors this weekend as well, a birthday dinner. To get together and talk about the future of the theater. So we're looking at events like that. We had the Little Loud Radio Hour there last night. That we partnered up with KRFY. So that was really neat to see Blurred in there. And we're looking at putting more, speakeasy style, black box style, like lower key listening room events in that space. It can also, you know, the room behind that, the space behind that offers us a lot of potential too, to expand the little theater and the side stage area for the main theater at some point.
Yeah, there's about 40 or 50 feet that's the prop part of the property of the little theater that an addition could be built. That's part of the grander vision, I think, is because an addition back there would, as you mentioned, provide a space that could augment the backstage area for the main theater because it's right adjacent to that.
Yes. And if those two spaces were connected, that really changes the game on the production-wise to be able to use the little theater as dressing space or rehearsal space as it's connected to the main backstage area of the main theater. In addition to giving us more bathroom space, storage space, ADA capabilities, you know, maybe a space to sit and drink a beverage and look out over Sand Creek on the top floor, something like that. You know, just dreaming. that little theater, you know, as it is right now, I think gives us a lot of options programming wise, and could give us the next step to really catapult the Panada and Sandpoint on a regional or national level scale. Mm-hmm.
And that is part of the Panda's mission, is not just to be an old historic theater, but to be a performing arts center for the community.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so the little theater definitely augments that part of the mission.
I just wanted to back up a minute to the Little Live Radio Hour, which happens once a month, typically about 10 times a year. We want to thank the Panada for providing a space for that KRFY Panada and Festival at Sandpoint a joint event. It's a live radio show, and so you can have a concert in your living room on those Tuesday nights. Some really great local music.
Yeah, and you know, we'll look to kick that back off, I think, in, was it April?
I'm not positive
somewhere
yet,
in that neighborhood, but next spring. Mm-hmm. So if you've been listening to those at home, you know, keep listening to them at home, but come down and check one out here and there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a favorite doing the next one in January, personally. I know we're booked up through December, but.
We can kick them back off. That'd be great to get that on more.
Yeah, it's a great partnership.
Jack, if you're listening.
Yeah, it's a good partnership. And we're going to have a live radio show in December. I'll just throw that out again, Friday, December 6th. So you can tune in it from 7 to 9. It will be a holiday spectacular.
Yeah, over the airwaves. And you can also attend in person, too. It's fun to catch it both ways. I caught about half of the Little Live Radio Hour last night over the radio. It's just great to hear that kind of energy being generated here in our community and reaching out. I mean, we can listen to it here over the radio, but we also stream it on KRFY.org. So people from all around the country and the world can tune in to Sandpoint, Idaho that way. Yeah.
Yep. One of the, just a little anecdotal thing, because we can stream, when there was a debate about Proposition 1, there were over 100 people streaming that night. We were recording it, or we were live streaming it.
Live broadcasting it, yeah. Yeah, that was the Friday before the election.
And so if 100 people were streaming, we know that a lot of people were listening. So it's our mission.
Yeah. Well, again, the big event coming up is this weekend. It's the birthday party with Olivia Gonzalez is the main show.
It's
Raquel it's Rodriguez.
Oh, excuse me.
Olivia Gonzalez is
Olivia.
I'm sorry.
Side hustle.
However,
I will be dancing side stage.
I'm sitting here looking at the ones that don't perform. Actually.
I almost said that too.
I'm sitting here looking at my notes, and that name popped out. And I thought, oh yeah, okay. Well, Raquel Rodriguez, we're going to get you up on stage so you don't make me a liar.
So. You gonna MC it?
Oh, no, I don't know.
Oh boy.
This is
Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And get your tickets online at panda.org. Why don't you line us out on a few of the other things coming up after that, Rob, or Olivia? Are you Raquel? I can't have so mixed up.
I'm confused.
So this weekend we have Oh Brother, Where Art Thou on Friday, and then we have the birthday party with Raquel Rodriguez and the Nightmares on Saturday. Then we have International Fly Fishing Film Festival on November 22nd. And then we have the this is a busy month. We've already sold out Bodie or Warren Miller. We'll have a big night on Saturday. International Fly Fishing Film Festival usually does really well. The Shook Show, which is I call it the Shook Show. It's the Shook Twins Giving Thanks Show.
It's an annual event they put on every year.
They sell that out or get real close to it every year. So,
and when is that?
And that is on November
30th. Okay. Yeah, just after Thanksgiving.
Just after Thanksgiving.
Ergo, giving thanks.
Yep. So it's always a Saturday after Thanksgiving. And then we have Christmas with the Gothard Sisters. And that one, they were like 40 short of selling it out last March when they came in. And they've sold out the Heartwood Center 2 years in a row for their Christmas show. We only have like 100 seats left for that, and that's on December 7th. So if you want to come to the Gothard Sisters Christmas
show. Yeah, that's probably a sellout. Yeah,
that'll be a sellout. Mm-hmm. Get those tickets now. And then we have another Christmas concert with Everdream, which they sold out last year. So we'll see if they sell out again. That's on Tuesday the 10th.
And they're a Celtic group, right?
They're both Celtic. Mm. Gothard Sisters and Everdream are both Celtic. Gothard Sisters are more on the folk side, banjos, guitar, things like that. Everdream is more classical. The lead vocalist is classically trained. They have a harp and then a violin, not a fiddle. So that's on the 10th. And like I said, that sold out last year, so I don't doubt that'll happen again. We have the Nutcracker.
Classic.
By Allegro.
Yeah,
Dance
classic
Studio.
Christmas
always
performance.
Love working with them and having them bring that in. And that'll be December 13, 14, and 15. And then we have A Christmas Carol, coming in, a Lake Pontre Repertory Theater Presents event. And they're, I'm really excited for that one. They're really working hard. And they're going to put on a really sweet event for that one. We haven't announced it yet, but Festivus is coming.
Oh, it is coming back. Okay. That's great. That's a hoot.
Yeah. That's a good time. That'll be on, the 23rd. So yeah, we got a pretty packed December. We got POAC coming back in January with Living Voices, and
you have, you know, a website that has all that information on.
You know,
I
suggest to people that they go to panada.org/events. You can go to panada.org, click on that events link, and just put it on your favorites and just check it out every once in a while, every week or so. Just give it a look, see what's coming up, because we're always announcing stuff, we're always putting stuff out there.
And so, you will get hit by a pop-up that says, do you want to get the newsletter? And the newsletter goes out every week, and it tells you what's coming up in the week ahead and further out, actually. So that's really helpful.
And we really try to make sure with that newsletter that we're not bombarding you. We just send you something every Thursday morning. You get something what's coming up for the week. So it's a good way to keep up with what's going on at the Panada and know what's going on and come join us.
Yeah. Push to your email box. You don't have to go anywhere. It comes to you.
Well, the Panada, community treasure, and you have a lot going on. You have your Century Fund, you have your birthday party, and we have new people on staff such as Olivia Gonzalez.
And I really want to, real quick, just, say to Olivia, thank you so much. She's really been, we were really excited to bring her on board, and she has exceeded expectations. One of the things that we really wanted to make sure we were going to be doing is creating community connections throughout the organization, and that fundraising position, really focusing in on that, getting to know people. And she gets really excited about these events that we bring people in and get to know each other and build community, and then go from there, see what other people want to do. Mm-hmm. The Panada is not just about those of us that work there or volunteer there. It's about the community and getting the community's ideas and moving forward with those as well. And
thank
Olivia
you.
Fits in
thank
with that
you,
really
Rob.
Well.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I heard you might be performing, but
there's a rumor.
She's a dance candidate.
Yeah.
Okay. So, should we put on a song real quick?
Yeah, are we done with these guys? Do they hang?
So.
Yeah, okay.
Well, thank y'all for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. And again, it's the Panada birthday party. It's this Saturday. It's with Raquel Rodriguez as the main act. Also, Lucas Brown and the Night Mayors are going to be opening at 7:30 p.m. Get tickets at panada.org. Pretty sure you'll probably get a ticket at the door. So if it's a spur of the moment, come and have some fun at this great fundraiser for the Panada.
And I just want to encourage you, it doesn't take long. You have it in that pocket computer of yours. Mm-hmm. Just go on to panada.org. If you haven't heard of Raquel Rodriguez, go on there and check her out.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you, if you see music coming up at the Panada, you're like, I don't know who that is. Well, there's a good chance they're your next favorite artist. So check them out.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor.